Let us pray. Oh Lord, we are thankful for the opportunity to come and hear your word read and preached as we continue to worship you. Lord, we ask that your word would not return void this very moment. This morning, this moment, for those who are listening, we pray that the Spirit would be working, revealing Christ, that we who are yours might be growing in grace, and those who do not know you, Lord, that you would, even at this moment, be given new hearts, new natures, new lives that love you. So we ask that you might teach us from your word, that we might better understand our God, the covenant relationship that we have with you, that we would enjoy you. In Christ's name, amen. Well, if you're turning your Bibles to Acts chapter 22, we'll be looking at verses 1 through 22 together this morning. As you're turning in your Bibles, tapping on your devices there, I'll remind you that Acts is written to confirm the certainty that the Lord Jesus Christ is building his church. Pray that by the time we get through Acts and we conclude chapter 28, that might be, as it were, tattooed to the back of your eyelids, burned into your memory, that when you think of Acts, you think of that great truth and promise that our Savior is keeping. Acts 22, verses 1 to 22. Brothers and fathers, hear the defense that I now make before you. And when they heard that he was addressing them in the Hebrew language, they became even more quiet. And he said, I am a Jew, born in Tarsus in Cilicia, but brought up in this city, educated at the feet of Gamaliel, according to the strict manner of the law of our fathers, being zealous for God as all of you are this day. I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering to prison both men and women, as the high priest and the whole council of elders can bear me witness. From them I received letters to the brothers, and I journeyed toward Damascus to take those also who were there and bring them in bonds to Jerusalem to be punished. As I was on my way and drew near to Damascus about noon, a great light from heaven suddenly shone around me, and I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And I answered, Who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. Now those who were with me saw the light, but did not understand the voice of the one who was speaking to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, Rise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all that is appointed for you to do. And since I could not see because of the brightness of that light, I was led by the hand by those who were with me and came into Damascus. And one, Ananias, a devout man according to the law, well spoken of by all the Jews who lived there, came to me and standing by me said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that very hour I received my sight and saw him. And he said, The God of our fathers appointed you to know his will, to see the righteous one, and to hear a voice from his mouth. For you will be a witness for him to everyone of what you have seen and heard. And now, why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. When I had returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple, I fell into a trance and saw him saying to me, Make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, because they will not accept your testimony about me. And I said, Lord, they themselves know that in one synagogue after another I imprisoned and beat those who believed in you. And when the blood of Stephen, your witness, was being shed, I myself was standing by and approving and watching over the garments of those who killed him. And he said to me, go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles. Up to this word, they listened to him. Then they raised their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for he should not be allowed to live. You know, it's said by some that there are three types of people in this world. So you have one type. These are the people who make things happen. And then the second type, it's said, are those who watch things happen. And then the third type are those who just have no idea what's going on. They're not even sure what's happening. This might be accurate. It might not be. Perhaps there's some shades to that. But, we don't want to kick away the reality that God is sovereign, that we are responsible to him. But just thinking of those three categories, those who make things happen, those who watch things happen, and those who don't have a clue what's happening. The encouragement we see, and I hope that we notice as we follow Paul all the way through Acts, and particularly here as we're going to move our way over the next several chapters, glued in, as it were, following Paul. I'm praying it's encouraging us that we might be those who would be living and acting for God's glory and obedience to him, and not those who are just watching or wondering what it is that's going on. But that in faith, by God's grace, he would use us. And that we might, as it were, go on offense. You know, not on defense, but that we would be moving forward. We would be growing as godly disciples of Christ through the means of grace that he's given us, prayer, word, and sacrament. And that we might be proactive as God's people. Proactive in deepening and building relationships amongst one another, making relationships with our neighbors that are around us, loving God and growing in that through the means of grace, loving our neighbors, loving one another, that those might be things that we would be about the business of doing, not just watching others doing it, not standing around wondering what's happening, that we might be used by the Lord. Even as we see here in our passage, this portion where Paul has been brought and he's now giving his defense, as it were, to the very Jewish people who had demanded his death moments earlier, had been rescued by the Roman soldiers. And then we see his response in this passage that helps us to keep in mind the importance that we need to make and take every opportunity to witness Christ. We need to make and take every opportunity to witness Christ. And we're going to look at two simple things this morning. Build bridges to witness Christ, and witness Christ in every opportunity. So building bridges to witness Christ. One of the things, as you've been with us, moving through Acts, or if you've read Acts, or if you've read the rest of the New Testament, one of the things you may have noticed is that Paul uses every providential circumstance in his life to build bridges that he might be able to witness Christ to those who are around him. And we've seen that as he's been sent out amongst the Gentiles. But even as he's come back to Jerusalem, our short time that we have been with him there in Jerusalem, his return, particularly now, we see Paul. He's using his providential history as where God caused him to be born, where he was raised, the circumstances surrounding those things. And even this very moment, he's using providential circumstances in his desire that he might be able to witness Christ to those who are around him. Sometimes we spend a lifetime witnessing Christ to someone. Perhaps we have a family member or a friend or a neighbor or a coworker, and it literally has been years. We've been praying that God would open their heart. We've been loving them with the love of Christ. We've brought to bear the good news. We've told them about salvation in Jesus. And we pray that God will bring fruit from that. And then there's other times where we meet someone and within a minute, 60 seconds of that conversation, we might witness Christ to them. But generally, we're not in either gutter there. We're trying to get down the center of the road. We don't necessarily want to take a decade to witness Christ to everyone we interact with. And we don't necessarily always jump in 20 seconds and witness Christ with new acquaintances. And we see Paul, he does different things, but we do see that Paul, he does seize the moment as he's able, as soon as the Lord provides it, to build bridges that he might be able to witness Christ. Paul knows, humanly speaking, he's got to overcome his Jewish hearers' incorrect view of him. You remember, as we were looking previously in chapter 21, as he goes into Jerusalem, the elders there are telling them what everyone is hearing about Paul. They've told him. They said, Paul, they think that you are going and you're teaching the Jewish people to be apostates. And Paul realizes he must overcome that. He's not teaching anyone to be an apostate. He's proclaiming the truth that the Messiah has come. He is not telling anyone that they are to walk away from the Lord, to walk away from his covenant promises, to walk away from all that the Jewish people have been holding on to, but he's wanting to build this bridge so that they realize that he's not calling them to apostasy, but he's calling them to take hold of the realities of the promises that have been given to them and their forefathers. That one day the Messiah would come and save them from their sins, and it has happened, and he wants them to know this reality. And so he's seeking to build bridges every chance he gets. Here in his defense, this first defense, as we're going to see, of many that come in different ways, but particularly with the Jewish people in this defense, he's wanting them to understand his pedigree, as it were, as a faithful Jewish man. As one commentator records of what Paul is doing here, what he's saying, what he's trying to get across, Paul's early life showed his affinity for everything that his hearers held dear. He was a Jew. Although born in the dispersion in Tarsus of Cilicia, he had been brought up in this city, Jerusalem, from his early childhood. His rabbinical education was at the feet of Gamaliel, leader of the respected school of Hillel. His training in their ancestral law had been thorough, even rigorous. So Paul's education in the law entailed not only exhaustive detail, but also scrupulous precision and application. His zeal for the Torah and for tradition was unsurpassed among his hearers, exhibiting itself especially in his violent persecution of the followers of Jesus. These claims paralleled Paul's retrospective on his pre-Christian life. We can read in the epistles of the Galatians and Philippians. Paul even summoned the high priest and the Sanhedrin's body of elders as witnesses to confirm his former zeal for the defense of Judaism by eradicating the threat posed by faith in Jesus. They could testify that his zeal led him to expand his campaign into the dispersion, carrying letters authorizing the extradition of Christian Jews to Jerusalem for trial. And Paul is building that bridge, making that point of contact with his Jewish hearers to make it clear to them he is not the apostate as he was slandered by some in the city, as was being proclaimed. And as he makes this point of contact, as he builds this bridge with them about who he is providentially, how he was brought up, the things he believes, he then moves into, as I mentioned earlier, proclaiming to them the gospel and the fact that the Messiah has come. The Lord Jesus Christ is here. Believe in him. Paul explains that it is while he is out pursuing Christians, seeking to silence them, seeking to drag them back to Jerusalem, that they then might be disciplined and punished, that is where and when Christ comes and saves him. And miracles are performed, and he identifies Christ as the Messiah. He identifies Jesus of Nazareth, that all of these Jewish people would have known exactly who he was speaking of. There wouldn't have been anyone wondering in that crowd, who's this guy? Who's Paul talking about? They were all very aware who Jesus of Nazareth was. And he clearly proclaims he is the Messiah. He then builds another bridge and tightens this connection as he goes back to the temple in his defense, in his speech, in his witnessing of Christ. And in the temple, the very place where he just was, where he had just been pulled out of, where he was about to be killed for his presence there, he says, I came back to the temple, and it was in the temple that Christ spoke to me in a vision and commissioned me and sent me to proclaim his gospel. Now, up to this point, everything's pretty good. They're listening. Paul's speaking to them. They're quiet. There's no riot. There's no fight. And you'd imagine, or at least you'd think, the fact that he just proclaimed to them that Jesus is the Messiah they've been waiting on. He puts the gospel before them. And you think in that moment, that's when they would freak out. But no, they're listening. But it is the moment that Paul says that Christ commissioned me and sent me to take the good news to the Gentiles. Well, that's when the world goes crazy. That's when the crowd loses themselves. That's when it's like the equivalent of what you see on the news overseas in ways that we don't understand, or pictures of riots where people are just, it's chaos and anarchy. I mean, they are furious. They are furious that he would go and he would tell Gentiles, non-Jewish people, the gospel, and that there is a Messiah in whom they can trust and place their faith in for forgiveness. And that's when, as we read, and we'll see next week as we come to this next portion in verse 22, when they lose it and they literally say, Paul does not deserve to be alive anymore. They were with him all the way through the proclamation of who Christ is. But once he said that he was going to take the gospel to those who were not Jewish, they lost it. So Paul he's building these bridges. We see here and in other places, but in our passage we're looking at here, in this defense, he works his way until they freak out and they lose it. But he's building a connection with them, so that he might then be able to do exactly what he does, which is witness Christ and make it clear to them they might understand. And I think maybe less than like 0.001% is there a probability that you're going to be in this type situation. Children, you're probably not going to be in a similar situation. But all of us, as God's people, all of us every day have opportunities to build bridges to accomplish on the macro level the same thing that is happening here between Paul and this crowd. It might be with a group of people. Most normally it's probably going to be with individuals or one or two folks. But you will have opportunities to build bridges. You know, it happens on the playground, pretty simple. I know, children, you know about this. You go into the playground and you see other kids playing. You don't know who they are. And you walk over and you're like, hey, can I play with you guys? And all of a sudden, a bridge has been built through play in the playground. Adults, it's much more difficult when we build bridges. It is. I mean, we have to be honest. We walk up to someone and we have to say, hello, my name is John. What's yours? It's hard. It's a hard bridge to build. I know. I'm making a joke. It can be very intimidating to do that. But And also, I would recommend don't say, "Hi, my name is John," unless your name's John, because then it gets weird and the bridge is burned before it's built. But it's making a connection with folks, building these bridges for God's glory. You know, praying that God would help us to have hearts that genuinely love our neighbors. You know, sometimes we don't build bridges and reach out because people just irritate us. We don't want to know the people around us. We watch the news and we think, those are those people. Ah, why can't they be more like me? But if I come across more of me, then yeah, I'll reach out and be a friend to them. But we need to pray that God would help us to genuinely love our neighbors, to build bridges. And then after we get past that initial high, and you have a conversation, it goes a long way just to genuinely want to know people, to learn about people. People are fascinating, and they really are. If you sit with anyone you come across, not only are you getting to learn more about an image bearer of God, but you see just how complicated we are. And it's amazing. It can be a great joy to get to know people. And it's something we should be praying for, that God would put on our hearts a genuine love for our neighbors, a genuine desire to get to know people, not just have a superficial, you know, kind of awkward, "I'm just doing this because I really would like to have another person that I can tell others that I told about Jesus," but a genuine, "You are my neighbor who I am called to love, and I actually would like to know what makes you tick. What do you think about things? What's your life been like? What do we have in common? What do we have that's not in common?" But it might be interesting to let those things bounce off one another. Talk to folks, ask questions. You know, the interesting thing is that studies show that right now more than half of Americans say that they are lonely and isolated. So that means you got like a 50% chance that when you say hi to someone, they're happy you said hi. And then there's a 50% chance the other person doesn't care. But man, that's pretty good. 50-50. Let's keep that in mind as you seek to build bridges to witness Christ. And as we look, once we see witnessing Christ in every opportunity here as well in our passage, Paul takes every opportunity he can to pour himself out in loving service of the Lord. Now, from here, chapter 22, until we go to chapter 28, if you brush through this, it's going to feel repetitive because we're now zeroing in on Paul. And Paul is literally going to take every opportunity that comes to him over the next several chapters until we conclude the book of Acts. And he is going from every angle with every person that he's in contact with, even though he's now under arrest and in bondage. He's just going to seek to witness Christ. And so we might be tempted to say, oh, we've got a lot more sermons where we're literally just going to go over the same thing again. And again, it kind of might get boring. Paul's just witnessing Jesus to people. Well, one, it's not going to be boring. Well, at least I don't think it's going to be boring. It won't be the same sermon over and over again because there's different aspects that we're going to see and different things happening. But at the same time, let's not miss the importance of the repetition that God has given us sovereignly in his word. You know, the Lord didn't just accidentally give us multiple accounts of Paul witnessing Christ to others. It is here for a reason. So let's keep that in mind. We're going to see he's already shared and witnessed Christ to the Jews. We're going to see then soon he's going to do this to the Jewish leaders. He's going to do it to the governors that he comes in contact with, Festus, Felix. to King Agrippa. And then from King Agrippa, he's going to get to do this to the sailors that are then taking him on to Rome. Then they're going to have a shipwreck. So again, children, lots of exciting things are coming. And when they're on the island, he's going to witness Christ to the islanders that are there. And then he's going to go on to Rome. And guess what Paul's going to do when he gets to Rome? He's going to take a break. No, he's going to keep witnessing Christ. And we're going to see that over and over and over again. We're going to enjoy it by God's grace and learn from it and see God glorified in all of this. And Christian, keep in mind as we're moving through here, and as even we see our passage this morning, that like Paul, you know, God has sovereignly saved you. God has sovereignly appointed you unto salvation. And God has also sovereignly appointed the trials, the sufferings for Christ that will come your way, the opportunities you'll have to witness Christ to others. But God is in control of all of these things. We get to be used by Him for His glory. I mean, think about this. Paul, think of last time we were together to this time. Paul was literally, again, on death's doorstep. This wasn't new to Paul. There was an aspect of this where it was like, I don't know, perhaps maybe the beatdown started and Paul started thinking, oh, man. Again, Lord, be with me. This is, I don't know, the 10th or 11th time I've almost died. Might this be the time I get to come into your presence? But then he's grabbed by the Roman soldiers and he's pulled out. Now, selfishly, maybe cowardly, I personally at that moment might be tempted to think, I need a breather. Y'all just take me on into safety. But Paul stops. Remember last time he stops the soldier, and he speaks to him in perfect Greek for the whole purpose of desiring to work out a moment that he might let Paul speak to the crowd. And then he turns and he speaks to the Jews that are there in their own language, and they're silenced and they listen. He grabs the moment. He doesn't let himself be carried away. And by God's grace, even though we see it, humanly speaking, ends and the crowd again yelling for his death. We don't know how the Spirit is working. How many in that crowd may have been pierced in their very heart by the Spirit hearing the reality and the truth of who Christ is. No matter what the situation, like Paul, let us seek to grab hold of it for God's glory. And pray before the situation, pray regularly for ourselves and for each other that God would help us, that we might step into the midst of what is seeming chaos. Sometimes the midst of what is very fearful and scary. And trust the Lord will use us. Paul, by God's grace, turns challenges into opportunities to witness Jesus to everyone around him. Again, Paul's in this whole predicament because he wanted to go back to Jerusalem, because his great desire was for his people, the Jewish people, to enjoy what he was enjoying, which was the truth and the reality and the knowledge and the belief and the salvation that came in Christ, and that they wouldn't be left continuing to look forward, but that they would know that Jesus had come and the Lord might bring them to salvation. End of a year, beginning of a new year, and we all do certain things. I know some of us make decisions, we write things on paper. I'm going to do this for the coming year. I'm sure many of us reflect on the year before, perhaps. Your work might cause you to do that, or teachers, or maybe it's a habit you have on your own. That's one thing that I've been working on these last few weeks, thinking about, praying through what it was like in 2022 for Christ Church, what it's going to be like in 2023, reflecting on how I went about my pastoral duties, what things were going to come, what opportunities were there, where were their failures, where were their victories. How has God been glorified in all these things we did? And one of these areas, is, as I've been reflecting on and thinking about and looking at challenges, looking at opportunities, one of those areas is outreach, evangelism, witnessing Christ to others. So I'll share a few of the questions I've been thinking through and encourage you on this rainy Lord's Day to perhaps take these same questions and think about them. And ask yourself these things and reflect on it prayerfully. So these are some of the things I've been asking myself and by God's grace wrestling with and thinking through. And starting off with, am I afraid to fail? Am I afraid that I might fail in evangelizing? I might fail as a pastor. For you, am I afraid in evangelism? Am I afraid I might fail in being a disciple of Christ? Am I afraid of what others will think of me? As a pastor, one of the things that hits right off the back is whenever someone says, hey, my name's so-and-so, I'm a plumber, what do you do? The great thing is I get to say, oh, the Lord's blessed me, I'm a pastor. That's wonderful because it opens doors, but it also slams doors shut. So there's good and there's bad there. I don't know what it may look like for you, but there is an aspect in my own life where there's a fear of man and what will others think. I've been wrestling with it, asking, am I too busy? Have I got good things taking place of great things, priorities? You can ask yourself the same question, am I too busy? Is it holding me back in my growth as a disciple and doing the things God's called me to? Am I stepping out in faith or am I taking it safe? Perhaps even am I unprepared? Am I prepared in a good way to be able to have these conversations with folks? Trusting that the Spirit's going to work, but have I done my part to be able to have a basic conversation about Jesus and the gospel, repentance and faith and trust in Him? Do I have a basic understanding of the big issues in our world to be able to understand what it is the Bible says about them? And one of my sons was telling me recently this week in his Bible class at school that in class discussion, how all the students from various different churches were talking. And in that discussion, they said that they wanted to share Christ. They wanted to witness Jesus to others, but that all of them across the board just felt like they weren't prepared for that. And sadly, as I looked into things, studies show that that's consistent with adult Christians as well. They don't feel prepared to do that. So there's an overarching macro aspect that we prepare the church as we're being made disciples of Christ. But there's also micro ways that we do that. So if we haven't done that adequately here at Christ Church, then hear my asking for your forgiveness and that we're going to commit to doing that. We're going to figure out how to equip each of us to be able to glorify God as we witness Christ in our daily life. That's going to be one of the things we're going to look at this year. And children, I know you're excited. We're going to do it not just for the adults, but for y'all as well and for the youth. And it'll be fun. We'll do it in laborious, scary ways, but in joyous ways to learn more about Christ and His grace. So, as we think about these things, let's first pray daily for ourselves and for each other. That God will help us to take every opportunity that comes our way and know that we're going to fail and know that we're going to say silly things or we're going to miss opportunities or someone's going to say something and we're going to, oh, wow, I don't know. We know all that's going to happen, but at the same time, we're going to trust the Lord that when seeds are planted, that He's going to water them and He's going to bring the harvest and He's going to build His church just as He's promised. He's going to make disciples of Christ just as He has promised. We're going to see these things happen and be able to glory in them. And second, as we pray, let's get in the game. Let's jump in the pool, whatever analogy you want to use. Let's get on the horse. Let's ride. Let's get active. You know, the best way to steer a ship is when it's moving. So together we can go and make crazy mistakes and then, by God's grace, correct and steer and move them, grow, learn from our experience. But above all, even if right now you're already starting to feel a little anxious and your chest is tightening, above all, just remember that We seek to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. So in enjoying Him, let us be those who would overflow with enjoyment as we tell everyone about our Savior. As we witness Christ, just making it a natural part of life, that we would want to tell others about our Savior who has given us forgiveness, who has come in and paid the unpayable debt for our sin, who has dealt with our guilt and our shame, who loves us with an infinite love, who is faithful to His promises, the things that can be found nowhere else. That is our great God that we get to tell others about. But let's enjoy it, and let's rejoice in it, and be thankful. And let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank You for Your goodness, Your grace, Your word. We thank You for the opportunities that You grant to us to witness Christ. We thank You for Paul, even the ways that You used him, and knowing that for every Paul there is in this world, there's millions of Christians who may not be named in Your word, but are witnessing our Savior faithfully as well, and doing it all by your power and the Spirit working through us. We ask that You would do just that, and that we might grow in our love for You, we would glorify You, and we would enjoy You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.